Ahoy, authors! You're listening to the Writership Podcast, a show focused on helping indie authors master self-editing skills. So come aboard and get ready to find the treasure in your manuscript with hosts Leslie Watts and Clark Chamberlain.
Welcome to episode 93 of the Writership Podcast. I'm Leslie Watts, here with Clark Chamberlain from the Book Editor Show. Every week, we demonstrate editing in action with tips that you can use to improve your own stories. If you want to learn more about the Writership Podcast, you can visit the website at writership.com/podcast.
As you know, the Writership Podcast is brought to you by the good folks at Author Marketing Club, home of the new and improved Amazon Reviewer Grabber tool. You know you need high-quality reviews for your books, so you should use the AMC Reviewer Grabber tool to quickly and easily locate reviewers that are ready, willing, and able to review your books for you. Become a premium member of AMC now by visiting www.authormarketingclub.com and get instant access to this tool and more. Hey, Leslie.
Hey, Clark. How are you?
I'm doing good. You had a busy weekend.
I did. I attended the Story Grid workshop that was put on by Sean Coyne and Tim Grawl, and it was amazing. And we have some really great stuff to talk about. We haven't been, it's been a few weeks since we've had a new episode because we've had a lot of things coming up. And so we're going to do things a little differently today, just kind of get back on track and talk about the bumpy things that happen in your life that throw you off track and how you get back on track.
Oh, yeah, because it certainly happens. It can happen so quickly and can feel so discouraging and make you question, you know, whether or not you should be doing writing or editing or, you know, any of this type of creative work. And you had a surprise guest, and I think you have a quote from that surprise guest that showed up at your event this last weekend.
Yes. I was so thrilled when Stephen Pressfield walked in. If you don't know him, he's the author of The War of Art, among other things. He's got an amazing novel called The Gates of Fire. He has he wrote The Legend of Bagger Vance and lots of just amazing books, both his novels and literary nonfiction, and then his support for writers and artists generally in The War of Art and Turning Pro. So today I have two quotes from The War of Art. Resistance's goal is not to wound or disable. Resistance aims to kill. Its target is the epicenter of our being, our genius, our soul, the unique and priceless gift we were put on earth to give and that no one else has but us. Resistance means business. When we fight it, we are in a war to the death. And then the second one, like a magnetized needle floating on a surface of oil, resistance will unfailingly point to true north, meaning that calling or action it most wants to stop us from doing. We can use this. We can use it as a compass. We can navigate by resistance, letting it guide us to that calling or action that we must follow before all others. Again, that's Stephen Pressfield from The War of Art.
Those are just both just so strong, you know, the quotes. And this is what we're going to talk about today. I mean, we're not going to do our normal submission and break it down. We wanted to do this really different and show that the listener out there isn't alone that's feeling the same way, because this happens to both you and I, Leslie. We've had a wonderful, and I'm using air quotes on wonderful, 2017 so far.
2017 has been a bit challenging, I will say.
Yeah, it really has.
And 2016, though wonderful in a lot of ways, was kind of hard too.
Well, you know, and my 2016 started off really shaky and then transformed into this incredible, amazing year. And I'm thinking, you know, that I'm just going to ride that into 2017 and it's just going to continue. And it didn't, you know, like 2017, I was all out there trying to get my new kind of self-help motivational type stuff going and do this big challenge. And I had technical issues fall apart, you know, like more work was just being piled up and piled up on me, and everything, like personal life had issues going on there. And just so much was happening that was just working against me. This, and I love that, you know, the quote you talked about with resistance, because it does, like it wants to destroy what it is that's important to you and what you're trying to really work and build.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's interesting that this came up in the Story Grid workshop, and the Story Grid generally, you know, is about story structure from the, you know, the whole book right down to, you know, each individual scene. And so how did this topic come up? Well, they referred to it as the internal genre, the things that we deal with, because everybody has these setbacks and challenges in life, and they can derail you, or you can use them as fuel to get, you know, to press on and further your journey, just like your characters do when they face obstacles in their stories. And within your own story, you face obstacles, and you have a choice about how you want to deal with them. And a lot of us, and it's, you know, there's no shame in it, but a lot of us do get derailed, or we get what Natalie Goldberg calls being tossed away for a time. And it's hard, and it sucks to get back on the back in the saddle. But it's, yeah, I'm a firm believer, and I know a lot of people hold this belief, that everybody has a special gift that they're here in the world to express. And if you don't do that, then it's not just harming you, that it's harming everybody, because everybody deserves to enjoy and the expression of your gift in the world.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the idea, and this held me back actually for quite a long time. Like it held me back from doing, starting the Book Editor Show podcast, because I felt that, you know what, everyone has written on this, everyone has talked about this, everybody has again and again has given so much information on the writing world and how to create story, and what could I do? What in the world could I do that would be any kind of difference to it? But the truth is that there are, what, about 7 billion people in the world now?
Yeah.
A little more?
Yeah.
Okay, that's a lot of people.
There's a lot of people.
And there's going to be more than just a handful that are actually looking for your voice at the time you put it out in order to finally have that thing click with them. You know, that they didn't click with the Sean Coyne. They didn't click with, I can't think of his name off the top of my head. Sorry.
Snowflake Method guy.
Yeah, Snowflake.
Randy Ingermanson, and yeah, I mean, there's a whole bunch.
There's a whole list of people that design story and help you learn story. But guess what? Maybe you, you know, are the one who actually has the voice that really clicks with someone. And so never be scared about following through and trying to build the thing that you really actually feel passionate about, because someone else has already done it. Everyone's already done it.
Right. What was it? Oh, Kurt Vonnegut talks about that, you know, in a story, a character gets into trouble and then gets out again. And people love that story, you know, because that's right. There is structure, there is form to stories, and there are lots of reasons for that. Obviously, you know, we use story to make sense of what's going on in the world that we don't understand. If you look at early, like, mythology and early stories, we're trying to make sense of a world that doesn't make sense. And we still do.
Right.
Because we still have things that don't make sense. And we're trying to figure it out and trying to make our way in the world. And stories help us do that, help us rehearse, help us see how other people, even if they're characters, handle the obstacles in their world. And I think that this is something important when people say, well, fiction is just for entertainment. And I want to say, yeah, but really, it's us working out these things, mm-hmm. and different writers sharing their take on how people interact and deal with the obstacles that come up in life. So it's not simply entertainment. It's entertainment plus here is either a prescription for what to do in mm-hmm. certain circumstances or a cautionary tale about what not to do.
Right. 'Cause this is our main form of communication, whether we want to see that or not, because it's how we share our lives with people. It's exactly what you just said. It's how we learn. You know, that's what the Grimm fairy tales were all about. That's what, and we talked just a bit briefly about it off air, but even urban legends today, it's the same type of idea that we are retelling kind of a folky type story that actually has a message to it of a warning that this can happen to you and to be careful. And that's what it's all about, is that we're constantly doing this. And it's unfortunate because sometimes we get locked into a thinking of that someone else's life is, if we just had this in our life, things would be better. You know, if I could just do this, things would be great. And finally, if I could be like them, it would be perfect. But guess what? It's not true. Like, your life, everybody's got problems. You know, that's the thread that ties all of us together. So we all have problems no matter what level we're at. And we can't sit idly by on the couch and get into a rut and stop, because that's what most people do. Like, mm-hmm. most people are just so willing to just settle and not go after what it is that they want, because it's hard.
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah. Yeah, it's funny you mentioned that, if only I had this, because I had a moment when in my life several years ago that was hard. And I remember I actually said out loud, if I could just have that shiny red car, everything would be great. But mm-hmm. and I caught myself, thank goodness, as I said it, but it was this moment of awareness that, oh, you know, that actually isn't going to help, and that I have that thought then, so I probably have the same thought other times, mm-hmm. that this or that is going to help me and solve all the problems.
Yeah, I'm the worst at it when it comes to the business side, you know, of when I was running Raven International Publishing. I was a sucker for all of those tools, right? Mm-hmm. Someone comes along and says, you know, this tool is going to help solve all your problems and is going to get you more well-known on social media. And I'm like, yeah, buy it, because it's going to solve the problem. But a lot of times tossing money at something doesn't solve the problem. Buying a thing doesn't solve the problem. Like, we really have to become more satisfied in our life with herself and look deeper into what it is that we can create in order to actually make ourselves feel decent. Now, the other side of that coin is that we're human. So we're always going to want more. We're always going to want to go after more and have more things, not necessarily items, but have more of something that we want in our life, more love, you know, more fame, more success, more of something. And that's okay. Like, having that is okay. I'm not saying that you have to not desire things. It's trying to focus it so that you understand that until you can solve your own problem on yourself, like, I mean, that's, how many times is that the answer in the story? Like, once we move from act two to act three and we've had the dark night of the soul and we're looking into ourselves, you know, the characters looking into themselves, and they find out that it's not this thing that was going to solve the problem. It's them that solves the problem.
Right. So. Yeah. Yeah. We have to change if we're going to deal with change in the environment, just like our characters. And so, Yeah. So I think about this. So we're, you know, we have this common problem. Life happens. The groove that we had going changes and we fall out of it. And then the question is, you know, what do you do? And I think like Stephen Pressfield says, use your resistance as a mm-hmm. compass to find your way. And when you know what it is that your true north is, then you find some bit of practice, whether that's writing 1,000 words a day or 200 words a day or starting with a sentence a day, whatever, you know, whatever that is for you, doing it every day without fail, because that it builds the ability to bounce back from those mm-hmm. tricky things, from the things that will toss you away, so that you develop the ability to catch yourself when you're going astray, and then to mm-hmm. bring yourself back. And when one thing isn't working, then try another thing. That was something that Sean Coyne talked about a lot in terms of story over the weekend at the workshop. When, you know, if you're in a scene and it's not working and you're struggling, then go back to the big picture mm-hmm. and just move between them as you need to, but don't keep banging your head against the wall. Like, I'm going to make this work. Well, maybe.
Yeah.
But what you may need is a change of perspective. So go back to thinking about, and I did a blog post about some tools to help us that are not traditionally thought of as tools, but the, you know, what's the purpose of the story? What do you actually, you know, what do you mm-hmm. really want to say? And who's your ideal reader? Who's the audience? And mm-hmm. and using those things as a filter to help you make those decisions. Well, what if this is what I want to say? Is this thing that I'm trying to do connected to that directly, or is it just a distraction? Because mm-hmm. we can get distracted so easily. Resistance uses that often, I've found.
it really does, you know, and trying to push us into other directions. And we see it in our lives. Mm-hmm. I mean, what is that? There's the old saying, you know, insanity is doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a different result. Like you said, beating your head against the wall isn't going to make something happen the right way, you know. And for characters in story, it's the same thing. We want to see them fail. We want to see them fail. Then we want to see them succeed. Mm-hmm. And if we take a look and we say that story, that art mimics life, then in our own lives, when we have this fail, let's try something different. And we might fail again, and we try something different, we might fail again. But as long as we're continuing to try, because that's the whole thing, mm-hmm. continuing to try, that's where it starts to make a difference. I was talking about this a couple weeks ago, I think it was, and I had a conversation with my son, Jonah, who's 14, and he has this issue often, is that he has the first resistance, the first failure that comes along, and gives up entirely because he doesn't want to fail. He's in that mindset of participation awards and everybody succeeds, and if you can't do it, you just don't do it. Mm. And that's the wrong way to be. Like, our failures are our teaching moments in our life. The fails that we have teach us what it is that we need to avoid in the future. That it teaches us how to move around something. There's a Buddhist saying that the moment you gain something is the moment you start to lose it. And we have to understand that what that really means is that life is constantly in flux. It's constantly changing. Everything constantly is in change. And we need to be aware of that. We need to be ready for that. And we need to be willing to not get so caught into this is the only way this is going to work, that we mm-hmm. can actually adjust, that we can move and pivot and find other ways to make it work. And once we can start to do that, then we can start to then have the next little bit of success and prepare ourselves for the next failure after that, because they're going to continue to come at us always.
Yeah. I notice in myself that I have this thing like, oh, if I just get, you know, it's similar to the car, but a little different. If I just get this thing figured out, then things will go smoothly. And like, as if there's a moment, I will get to this point where things will be easy. And maybe it's the case that it's easy for a short time. But as we know, if we read a series of books, the protagonist ends up getting into trouble again, right? There's not, life just keeps happening and change keeps happening and we have to continue to adjust. And so the mindset needs to be, I'm going to show up for whatever is here today. I'm going to do my work and then I'm going to, you know, do the same thing tomorrow. Mm-hmm. Because there isn't, I mean, I don't know, maybe there is another way to do it and I just haven't encountered it. I don't feel like I'm old enough to rule out everything in the world, but in my personal experience, there isn't another way. It doesn't, life doesn't just flow easily mm-hmm. and smoothly. Things happen. And so the ability to ride that and just continue to do the work, which is another Stephen Pressfield title, oddly enough. You just continue to do the work no matter what. And I know it's hard and I know it sucks sometimes. And it's the only path that we know of that works.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know if I had a boss a number of years ago, and I don't know if this is a quote that he made up or if it's out there. It is wisdom of the ages, though, and it kind of is the same type of thing there, is that if you just continue to show up every day, eventually you'll be the person in charge and you'll be the authority because everyone else will have quit. Like, like you just keep doing it every day and people will come and they will go. And pretty soon, if you're the one who's there every single day, then you're the one at the top of that because you've spent the time just doing it every single day in and day out. And it's that same idea, I guess, circling back around to that thing I was talking about where I had feared, you know, like starting the book editor show because everyone else is already doing it. You know, if you look at a sports analogy, like Michael Jordan is probably one of, if not the best, greatest basketball player of all time. I mean, could you imagine somebody saying, you know what, I'm not going to try to do professional basketball because Michael Jordan already did it better than anyone else can. And I'm just not going to even bother.
I'm just going to go home.
I'm just going to go home. Watch TV. I'm not even going to try. Yeah. I mean, I'm really good at this, but you know what? Screw it. You know what? Someone else already did it better than I can do it. Like, that's the stupidest thing you could think of, right? You know, like, no, like you keep going and you keep trying and it doesn't matter because we've got 7 billion people. You know what? There's a lot of people out there. And so your voice and everything is going to come around to someone else that you're going to inspire. You're going to make a difference in their life.
Yeah.
And in your own life.
Yeah. I love that because it is true. When you read something at the moment when you need it mm-hmm. and it just touches you and inspires you, that there's nothing better than that. I think, you know, as a reader, as a person, as a human, when somebody gets mm-hmm. where you are, yeah, it's amazing. And I wanted to also kind of tie this back around to editing as well, because that's generally what we do. But the way that it applies really is that I think we get stuck and we think, oh, I don't know how to fix the problem, or I don't know how to find the problem in the story. And so I want to say a few things about that. And one thing is to don't be afraid of the problem, because within the problem is the seed to the solution. Mm-hmm. So be willing to dive into your manuscript and figure out what's not working and be committed to figuring out how to fix it. and get help is the second thing. Get the help you need. There are so many great resources available. You know, if you're listening to the show, you're getting something out of it here. So you're finding some value in what we're offering. And there are a lot of great resources, books and blogs and other podcasts and places that you can find the answers to your questions. So keep searching for, you know, until you get the help that you need, but also trust yourself in that. And then the third thing I would say about that is to not let the pursuit of the answer become resistance in itself, which I am sometimes guilty of. when it's time to sit down and do the work, and you'll probably know it. Just tuning in, like, is this resistance or am I, you know, do I still genuinely need to search for the answer? And I think that you know that by how do you feel? Do you feel disappointed that you can't get back to your work yet? You know, you can't solve this problem yet? Or do you feel kind of relieved that you don't have to work on your project again just yet? And so what I would say is do search exhaustively for the answers to your question, but also keep doing the work at the same time. It's not one or the other. It's both.
That's really good. I wanted to add one other thing along where you just said, trust yourself. Mm-hmm. And this is really important. You know, you need to have a place that you can recharge, that you can find some peace and serenity when these types of things are happening, you know, whether that's meditation or exercise or a healthy choice. Mm-hmm. It's not grabbing a quart of ice cream and sitting down and watching television. It's not to numb the feeling. It's to examine the feeling and work through it. And it's so important to not have that be a person, you know, like it's not going to a close friend and like venting at them or whatever. And the reason being is that we need to trust ourselves, that we need to be able to have this answer within ourselves, because again, change happens. People come and go, not just that they might end the relationship, but they may pass away. Like, so we can't become completely reliant. We have to be reliant on ourselves, so that when we're in these bad situations that we have ourselves to turn to and we can trust ourselves that we can work through these situations.
Yeah, absolutely. It's so great to have a community and to have supportive people. And in the end, no one else is responsible for your gift getting out into the world. Mm-hmm. So you have to be. You just do.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So a little tough love from Clark and Leslie today.
So this has been a good conversation. This is, I hope, for me, like especially, like it's just really good to talk about these types of things and recognize that everyone goes through it.
Absolutely. I think that's, it's true of everybody. Like everybody at the conference that I spoke or the workshop that I spoke with, you know, struggles with something or other, including the people at the front of the room who were talking about stuff. Mm-hmm. Like they have this too. Everybody has this. So that means, A, there's nothing special about you if you have this. And I don't mean that in a derogatory way or, you know, to be mean. It's more like we're all in this together. We all get it. So we just, you know, it's not that you're not special. It's what it is that you don't want to get tied up in that thinking about it in the, oh, woe is me, because it's, and I know, as I said, I get into this too. So I do it. It's not that it's easy to get out of it or to stop these thoughts, but you owe it to yourself and you owe it to the person who's waiting to read the thing that you are writing to move past that. Feel those feelings for a minute or two, like give yourself a 5 minute or a 10 minute or whatever you need time to feel that woe is me, and then go write something right away. So you break that
pattern. Absolutely. Yeah. You only get away from that. So would you like an editorial mission from me this week?
I would very much.
This is What Do You Really Want? And this is coming from my upcoming book, Be the Hero, From Helpless to Hero. And it's about my own life, you know, from losing my children to becoming a soldier in Iraq and everything involved in that, to like come back from one of the worst experience of my entire life. And hopefully it can help other people as well that go through these types of things. But as you can see today, we still end up having this stuff happen. So here's your editorial mission for today. What do you really want? Today, we want you to explore what you really want for your life. You know, this is a difficult exercise for many people because they feel they don't have real control over their lives. Maybe they've made too many commitments and compromises, and it's too late to change direction. But it's never too late. You know, this is your life, and you deserve to live the one that you want. But you have to make some choices. The first thing I want you to do is imagine that you are all alone in the world. You have no commitments, no family, no friends, no bills, no jobs, no boss, in short, nothing. I want you to imagine that space. What you have here is a blank canvas and a fresh start to create your ideal life. And what do you look like in that blank space? You know, take a look. Grab a sheet of paper and write this stuff down. Take a look at what you want for your body, your mind, your emotional or spiritual life. What in your life, because you look at this, you'll put this stuff down, and then take a look at what in your life is actually stopping you from doing it. And then what you need to do is commit to change, or you've got to accept that that's the way it is in life. But I hope that you will be willing to make that commitment to change. And what you need to do to make that change is to take one step every day in pursuit of that goal, no matter what, because over a year, 365 days, if you're making that one small change over that 365 days, big changes are going to happen. For myself, at the beginning of December, I stopped eating anywhere that had a drive-through, and that one little change over these past few months, you know, I've lost 10 pounds. Like, and I have a healthier lifestyle, and I didn't even eat out that much. But the fact is like making that small thing can really happen. So as a reminder, go to writership.com/episodes to sign up and get editorial missions delivered right to your inbox. If you usually listen to the podcast while you're on the move and can't write the mission down, this is a great solution. So you can get this and get the life you really want.
And write some books. Oh, okay. Well, I guess we'll start wrapping things up then.
The Writership Podcast is brought to you by the good folks at Author Marketing Club, which you can find at www.authormarketingclub.com. Don't forget, when you become a premium member today, you'll gain access to the new and improved Amazon Reviewer Grabber tool.
And before we go, if you enjoyed the show, please leave us a rating and review on iTunes or Stitcher. It helps other people find the podcast, which we appreciate. If you want to have the 5 pages of your novel reviewed, we'll be back to the normal format next week. So if you want to have your fiction reviewed on the show, you can visit writership.com/submissions. And use our automated submission tool there. Finally, be sure to check out the Book Editor Show, which Clark hosts with Peter Turley. And that's it for episode 93. We'll see you next time on the Writership Podcast.
Ready for Leslie and Clark to help you find the treasure in your manuscript? Submit your pages to writership.org/podcast.